Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. If you were listening yesterday, you heard a guest talk about how modern showers are trying to kill us with their slippery floors and lack of handrails. Today's guest, as you could tell, did not hear that segment. But he says there's another lethal everyday object we should be worrying about. It's lurking in our workplaces, our homes, our schools. In fact, you're probably sitting in one right now. I know I am. That's right. Your chair is out to get you. And the millions of other Americans who spend, on average, we are told, 13 hours of their day sitting down. So join me in the studio now, and standing at his microphone is Dr. James Levine, an obesity expert at the Mayo Clinic, inventor, as you may know, of the treadmill desk, and now author of a new book called Get Up, Why Your Chair is Killing You and What You Can Do About It. Dr. Levine, welcome to our program.
Brian, good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
I'm trying to remember if any other guest has ever chosen to stand at the microphone in the studio, and I don't think so.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to do so, and I feel better, healthier, and happier for doing it.
And are there listeners out there who use a treadmill desk or have tried using one? Call in with your testimonials or questions, 212-433-WNYC. And I'm curious, if you use one regularly, folks, have you noticed any changes in your mood, your weight, your energy level, anything else? What's a comfortable speed for you? Does it vary depending on your activity? We'll get into speeds of treadmill desks with Dr. Levine. Can you walk and chew the content of your work at the same time? 212-433-WNYC. And bonus points for anyone who calls from your treadmill desk at work or at home, and we won't judge you if you're out of breath. 212-433-9692. All right. So, Dr. Levine, how much of this is hyperbole? You say sitting is more dangerous than smoking, kills more people than HIV, and is more treacherous than parachuting. Really?
Well, I think there is a very serious understory here, if you like, the back of your seat. The understory is that over the last 5 to 10 years, about 34 chronic diseases and conditions are associated with excess sitting. And with excess sitting comes profound inactivity. The human body actually isn't made to be crammed into that seated position for 13, 14, 15 hours, day in and day out. And that cumulative impact, whether it's diabetes, hypertension, cancer, cardiovascular disease, depression or back pain, that the cumulative impact of those chronic diseases are actually what is associated with the lethality, if you like, of chronic sitting disease.
And do you practice what you preach? I told everybody you're standing for this interview. What does your average day look like in terms of time spent sitting, standing, walking?
Well, we know from studies we conducted actually in agricultural areas in Jamaica that true sitting time is about 3 hours a day, which is, of course, the diametric opposite as to how most of us live. So that's my goal. I mean, the trouble is wherever I try and sit down, somebody always sort of comes across. This has happened to me in Hong Kong. I was sitting down with colleagues having dinner. Somebody came across, took a photograph and said, "Dr. Levine, we caught you sitting down." So actually, I feel sort of, you know, threatened by the presence of any chair, mainly for that reason. But, you know, what's very interesting is once you're up and moving, there's a sense of energy that pervades your day. And that, I think, is actually very important.
This is WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. It's New York and New Jersey Public Radio. As we talk to James Levine, inventor of the treadmill desk and author of the book Get Up, Why Your Chair is Killing You and What You Can Do About It. And because I believe in meeting our guests where they are, I am now going to stand up, raising my microphone. Let's see if I can do this without too much. I don't know if this is going to work.
It's sinking.
You, Brian. See, it's got a built-in memory. Now I got it to stand up.
It's a sedentary microphone.
Okay, so we are both standing up now. We'll see if I can pull this off and if I can reach my computer controls from here. But I want to ask you about the treadmill desk.
Yeah.
After some experimentation, you settled on 1.1
Correct.
Miles per hour as the default. And to give people some perspective on that, the average person walks about 3.1 miles per hour, about 3 miles an hour instead of your 1 mile an hour at the desk, though the average New Yorker pushing people aside might walk at a faster clip than the average person from Peoria. So how did you decide on the right speed?
Well, again, so a lot of this work in the book Get Up is based on the science. So we actually went into the scientific data where we had gathered data on 10,000 walks that free-living people wearing sort of magic electronic kitted underwear actually undertook in their normal day. And very interestingly, although, as you say, you're at a clip when you're pushing through the streets of New York on a way to a meeting, when you average out human walking, the actual average speed of humans walking, including waiting in the post office, you know, hanging, you know, going to the water fountain, the actual median walking pace for free-living people is 1.1 miles an hour. And that's exactly how we came up with that speed to recommend for people, whether it's treadmill desks, walk and talk meetings, whether that's active schooling, kids learning Shakespeare, walking around corridors, or whether that's even in elderly homes where people who are debilitated with old age can actually improve the quality of the musculature in their hips and so on.
One early adopter of the treadmill desk, as some of our listeners may know, was Susan Orlean, the staff writer at The New Yorker, who wrote about it for the magazine last year. Here she is on NPR talking about how she feels after a day of work at the treadmill desk.
The funny thing is that when I leave my office, it's not that I think, oh, my God, thank goodness I can finally go sit. I find that I have more energy, and what I think often comes to mind is, oh, I think I'll take the dog and go for a walk.
That's a very common That's a very, very common response. Initially, when I started doing this, I assumed that I was going to come home at the end of the day and sort of poof onto the sofa. But actually, the diametric opposite happens. People get home, and we have a lot of corporate programs, energized. They want to do more fun stuff with their kids and with their partners and partners in all senses.
And you know what? I'm going to have to sit back down because my computers are down there, and I can't see who the callers are unless I'm sitting at the level
of the revolution has begun.
But the revolution, and I like the idea of the treadmill. I'll have to try that. I've actually been unfamiliar with it. But let's talk to Mike in Springfield, New Jersey. Mike, you're on with James Levine. Hi.
My computers are down there.
Mike, okay, let's try. Someone else, is there another caller you recommend in there? Line one? One? Is that a one? Line one is Brian in Red Hook. Hi, Brian. You're on WNYC.
Hi. How are you?
Okay.
So I have been, I was a programmer for a number of years, and I reached a point where I actually started standing at my desk because I was getting carpal tunnel just due to the slouching posture that I would have. And since then, I've become a successful visual artist, and I work at my easel 13 hours a day, and I'm standing all day long. And what I've begun to realize is that standing all day causes a lot of problems as well on your hips and your back and your knees. And I have a very good pad that I stand on. I wear clogs. And so I've begun to actually switch between sitting and standing to take some stress off continual pressure.
I'm really glad you called with this story because, Dr. Levine, I think part of the evolution of this, as I understand it, is that, yeah, there was a wave of standing desks over the last few years. We have a few people with standing desks here at WNYC, not treadmill desks, but that the standing desk has its own pitfalls because there are structural problems that people suffer from standing all day as much as sitting or different from sitting, right?
And so, Brian, I think, Brian, you actually bring up two critical points. I mean, you are 100% right. If you actually stand still all day, just what you said is inevitably going to happen. And so building movement into your day is actually very important. But I think the second thing you actually came to is to me, the critical thing. First of all, you became more effective and more successful as an artist. Congratulations on that, in one of the toughest fields in the world. But in addition to that, you also come to this idea that you take breaks from your standing by sitting, and now you take breaks from your sitting by standing. So if you like, your default position, the way you look at the world has actually now changed completely. So you now have this balance in your life between standing, and hopefully it'll become moving as well, walk and talk meetings, you know, taking a creative stroll, an inventive stroll, and all those hip problems I suspect will improve. But creating that balance between sitting and standing, you've achieved what the vast majority of people working in corporate America have not. And so good for you.
Brian, thank you and good luck. How about the the split attention? if it does, and excuse me, if it takes any attention to walk on a treadmill desk or at a treadmill desk, can you walk, talk, think, pat your head, and use your touchscreen tablet at the same time?
Well, I mean, I think the first thing we need to recognize for those of us who, you know, who work in regular office jobs is that our attention is being split all the time. You know, you're working on a white paper, you're working on a project for your boss, and 17 emails are coming in,
sure.
And then three phone calls.
But here's another one, walk at the same time.
Well, what's very, very interesting is when you actually get up and start walking in a forward direction, inevitably, actually, your focus and concentration improve. And that's a sort of a strange irony about this. In other words, you're sort of walking towards your mission. And what we tend to find, we know that from the corporate studies, productivity improves about 10 to 15% for a corporation. And that's not in healthcare cost savings. That's in direct productivity, number of widgets made per hour, if you like. And I find that very, very interesting. And it's this idea that when you're walking forwards, there's sort of an innate focus. And that's just something we've observed over the last, 10 years of doing this.
We have a treadmill desk user, Sarah in Hartsdale. You're on WNYC. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
Tell us your story.
Mm-hmm. Well, I used a standing desk while I was pregnant, and it was a huge help for me. It made my back...
Wait, did you say standing desk or walking desk?
I was using a standing desk.
Oh, just standing. Okay, sorry.
Mm-hmm. It's a start.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped you?
Yes, it helped my back a lot. It helped my hips a lot. And I was just able to keep moving throughout the day, which I think just helped me stay active while I was pregnant.
And Sarah, I think I'd add one other point, is that pregnancy, in addition, I mean, sitting all day long is such a unnatural thing for the body to do that you sort of almost, it sounds to me as though you almost sort of naturally found the necessity to get up off your chair, to sort of break the chair sentence, and, you know, and here you are. And the result of the pregnancy, do we get to know? Boy, girl?
It's a girl. And she'll
congratulations.
Be a year in a week.
Didn't we just hear the results of the pregnancy in the background?
I think so. That's what I thought.
Yeah, you might have.
Yes. Oh, how beautiful. Congratulations.
Another baby makes a radio debut on the Brian Lehrer Show. Joining the many before. Sarah, thank you very much and good luck. And Florencio in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hey, Brian. Good morning. Great show. I'm an occupational therapist and I work with kids. And I wanted to ask the doctor if his research has implications for kids having the need to stand up and take breaks, instead of sitting 6 to 7 hours a day.
In school all
day. Every day, right.
So, Florencia.
Sarah in Hartsdale, take note for a few years from now.
Correct. No, in serious, what a profound comment. Florencia, absolutely. So, two things I may share with you, please. Is first of all, we did a complete school redesign where the school was entirely redesigned to encourage movement. And a couple of things happened. Three things I want to tell you. First of all, kids obviously started moving much more. In fact, they move. If you give kids the opportunity, they move as much as they do during their summer vacations. There's a sort of a florid response in movement. Second of all, the teachers improved concentration. And third of all, kids... the scores, the state match scores for these children improved on average, and this is now being done about well over 100 schools around the world, scores improve about 10%. Let me, in addition to that, however, pick up on one particularly interesting point, and this is namely the children with ADHD. These children so many times, and this is well recognized now, are over-medicated, and sometimes, I hate to say it, unnecessarily medicated because of the fidgetiness of these children. And now data are coming out that if you allow these kids to move during the school day, and I've actually worked directly, actually in GetUp, we actually tell the story of one kid in particular, and it transformed her life, whereby when she was able to move, literally she was stopped off Ritalin, she was failing in math and she went to a B grade. I mean, it is an extraordinary transformation what happens to some of these children.
So this is also a gender issue with respect to boys mostly, isn't it? That boys have a little more of a physiological need to move around, or do you think that's a myth?
It's actually very interesting. So again, when you go back into the data, now we've done published studies in about 10 or 15 different schools. Very interestingly, boys and girls respond exactly the same to active environments. Now, what's very, very interesting is the overall calmness of the schoolroom improves, and teachers report improved behavior. And a lot of or at least the swing, the majority of that negative behavior is often attributed to boys. So it's very, that's proven to be quite fascinating.
There isn't a burden, despite those benefits, of more transitions. You know, it's harder to get kids settled and back into focus each time you make a transition.
It's very much like what we were speaking about earlier, like in the workforce, as you were, you know, we were talking about having your attention divided. It appears that, again, when you allow kids to move naturally, actually just like with adults, they actually come to focus better. And we're sure that's probably why their score, their grades improve. And so I think the body's innate drive to move must be enabled, and then we learn and work better.
Getting ready for you to come on today, we realized that we had one previous testimonial to the treadmill desk on the show. It was when we had the writer A.J. Jacobs
last year.
Author of the book Drop Dead Healthy, about his quest to become the healthiest man on earth. And part of that quest involved a treadmill desk. A.J. Jacobs from our show last year.
I made a pledge to try not to sit down as much as possible. And if you're sitting, at least move around. Fidgeting is better than nothing. You can burn 250 calories a day fidgeting. Or every hour, just get up and walk around. But I took it to the extreme, and I worked on a treadmill desk. I wrote this book while walking. It took me about 1,200 miles.
1,200 miles of book writing.
Well, I thought Get Up was the first nonfiction book written on a treadmill desk, and I've been proven wrong, Brian.
There you go. It's at least the second. Weren't you involved with one of the earliest iterations of a Fitbit-type device?
Correct. We realized what we wanted to do is try and understand why it is that some people working in modern office environments, sitting next to other people, there's such a difference in body weight. Some people are battling with obesity, yet some people are lean. And so we kitted out people with underwear interlaced with a whole series of microsensors. And that technology demonstrated.
There are a lot of things I could say that I won't.
I can see the temptation in your eyes. But the data demonstrated is that people who are lean are moving around 2.25 hours a day more than people with obesity, yet no one's going to the gym. And that was the genesis for a whole flood of these technologies that enable us to self-monitor whether we are sedentary and chair-sentenced or released and active.
Ah, yet no one's going to the gym. I admit to being a little bit of a skeptic about some of this. Not so much the treadmill desk, which, you know, on the surface strikes me as great, but of the whole Fitbit wave, on the theory that exercise still needs to be vigorous to make a real difference to your fitness. I'm not sure I'm convinced that walking, you know, 1 mile an hour for a few hours matters so much, or that the Fitbit thing of increasing how many walks to the office kitchen you take to move around a few times a day actually matters if you're not also running or going to the gym and actually working out and getting your heart rate up for 20 minutes and all that stuff. Do you want to convince me otherwise?
Yes. So, Brian, your listeners don't realize that you are a sylph, muscular, attractive, tall man. And so, yeah, that's right. I can stay on for 20 more minutes. No, but seriously. So the first thing is, even for you who go to the gym aggressively 3 times a week, even that does not offset the harm of chronically sitting. But secondly, and
in terms of your back?
Or in terms of the 34 chronic diseases associated with excess sitting, it just doesn't offset the harm. But actually, more importantly than that, I've looked after patients who are battling excess body weight and obesity for 25 years. They do not go to the gym. They do not go to the gym for various reasons. Normal people don't have the money, don't have the time, are running 3 jobs, looking after 4 kids, and often feel ostracized from that sort of that gym culture. And so for them, for people in America battling obesity, Get Up. This is the solution, because the gym is not a tangible, realistic solution for 95% of Americans. Get Up is.
So to the next level on that scale, I think. Virginia on the Upper East Side, hello.
Hello.
And you're an endurance athlete?
I am. I am training for my 8th marathon. I have done a bunch of triathlons. I'm fitter than the average bear, but that's my hobby. My job is sitting at a desk and staring at a screen. So I wanted to ask about exactly how much of the good that I'm doing when I get up and run 7 miles in the morning? How much of that am I undoing when I go to work?
So, Virginia, I've got to first of all say fantastic, congratulations, totally brilliant. Keep it up. I am just you're one of my heroes, Virginia. No, seriously, because you found something you love to do, you found something that's sustainable, you found something that's cool, and I bet you love every minute of it despite the pain.
I do.
Now, here's my challenge to you for today. As you go to work today, here's what I want you to do, nothing more, nothing less. Every hour on the hour, just stand up and get on with your day.
Okay, how long do I need to stand up
for? I just want you to get habituated to every hour getting up. Don't worry about for how long or what you're going to do, because the data suggests that run you do at the beginning of the day does not offset the harm of sitting all day long at the office. I'm sorry, but it doesn't. So,
right.
So lead the revolution. Use your energy, your smile. I can hear it all the way down the radio waves to get up and move. Make it happen. Make it happen.
Virginia, thanks.
Thank you.
Good luck out there. Frank in West Babylon, you're on WNYC. Hi, Frank.
Hey, Brian. I have a quick question. I edit video, and I work a lot at home, and I also work in other offices, you know, on a freelance basis. And it's almost impossible to get a standing desk at most places or a treadmill, particularly at home. So what I do is I sit on one of those Swiss balls at the desk. And I'm just wondering if that is any good? Is it not as good as standing? Is it better than sitting? What's your opinion on the on those exercise
And
balls?
I should say we have a number of listeners who have this exact same question
about
the big balls.
And again, Frank, I've got to tell you. So I'll answer your question specifically, but let me just preface what I've got to say with the following comment. The fact that you've taken the time, the trouble, the money to make this effort tells me everything I need to know, because that is kind of what the data show too. So individuals who get these balls, and yes, you're right, they do improve your upper body core, and yes, they are doing some good. But actually what happens is by using that kind of equipment, simply by its sort of physical presence, simply by seeing it, it implicitly results in, it tells me that you're concerned, it tells me that you're worried, it tells me that you're sort of pre-contemplative, as the psychologists say, for getting up. So my gut feeling is you are actually going to do really well, because already implicitly inside of you, you know there's a problem and a necessity to get up. That's what I think is going to happen.
Well, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much. Pre-contemplative.
Yeah, very important. Very important.
Means I haven't thought of this yet.
No, exactly. Exactly. That's what sort of. So what I want everybody to do as you're listening to the radio is to stand up and I want you to tell off your chair. I want you to say, you know, you are not going to sentence me anymore. I'm going to escape you, because you have to enter that sort of that mental space, is what the psychologists call it. And in a way, it sort of sounds amusing, but again, it kind of makes quite logical sense when you think about it. You've got to, your mind has got to go before your body. Your body follows your mind. And just as people's minds have been seduced by sedentariness, we've entered this rather slothful thinking. Similarly, we've got to use our mind as much as our bodies to get up and move.
Dr. James Levine, obesity expert at the Mayo Clinic, inventor of the treadmill desk, and now the author of Get Up, Why Your Chair is Killing You and What You Can Do About It. Thanks. This has been much fun.
Brian, thank you so much. Get up.
And you've been up. Now you can relax.